You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Dan Campbell fallout still going on after the Lions blow a 24-7 halftime lead to the Niners. 97.1 The Ticket with the highlights there. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. You know, Smalls, you said something yesterday that I want to come back to because we're thinking about which team has a better chance, Ravens or Lions, to get back here. You really put something in my head that I was thinking about. And it's not fair to Dan Campbell, so I'm blaming both of us on this.
Okay.
But it's not fair to Dan Campbell. You said specifically, look at the Philadelphia Eagles. They go to the Super Bowl with Nick Sirianni as their head coach. They lose both coordinators. Shane Steichen, who was their offensive coordinator, does a really good job in Indy without his starting quarterback and Anthony Richardson, who got hurt. Gardner Minshew is, let's call him, the 33rd best quarterback in the league, if not better than that, but he's always the backup, who's probably the best of the backups. And the Eagles' offense looks way worse. And you specifically said, what happens if Ben Johnson, their offensive coordinator, leaves? Are we sure the Lions look the same next year? And I can't get that out of my head. That when looking at these two teams, yeah, I would pick the Ravens to be more likely to get back there because now I'm thinking about the Shane Steichen theory with the Lions here.
Yeah, we don't know that the offense is going to look the same if you remove Ben Johnson from the equation. But I still think the NFC has an easier path to get back to the championship game than the AFC. I mean, just going through some of the teams last night, Patrick Mahomes is obviously still going to be there with the Kansas City Chiefs. And until proven otherwise, I'm going to just slot him into the AFC championship game. I have learned my lesson, America. Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, we expect them to still be a formidable opponent.
No doubt.
Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm not counting them out as long as Joe Burrow is healthy, which we hopefully assume that he will be next year. CJ Stroud and the Houston Texans, I feel like they're going to be a playoff team. Why wouldn't I think that they're going to be a playoff team if this is what we saw year one of CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryans? The Cleveland Browns defense is great. We don't know about the quarterback play, but they were able to get there this year without consistent quarterback play. The Steelers are always there, and Mike Tomlin is returning. Trevor Lawrence, what are we going to see from him? Can Miami beat quality opponents? We don't know. Herbert and Harbaugh, we're expecting them to take a step forward. And you may laugh at this one, but Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers. And they have a lot of talent with the Jets.
You're right. I am going to laugh
at that. You can laugh at that. But I'm going to put that at the and on the fringe of the conversation.
Can you define what that means? Aaron Rodgers is still, what do you mean, like a distraction?
He is a distraction, but he's still an MVP quarterback.
Is
and
he?
A
no.
Super Bowl winning quarterback. I'm not saying
that's factual.
That they're going to. I just think maybe they'll be more of a tougher out this year, obviously.
Okay, fair.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm just saying there's more teams in the conversation in the AFC that could be a threat to the Ravens getting there than I think in the NFC for the Lions.
So let me just make sure I understand this. I am buying into your theory, but you're not buying into your theory.
No, I'm saying that the Lions might not look the same, but even if they stumble a bit and have a calibration period, I still think that they have a better chance of getting there based on the talent in their conference.
Got it. Division's going to be tough, though. The Lions division is going to be tough. I mean, Green Bay's there, Minnesota, depending on what they do at quarterback. I mean, but they were formidable. And then the Chicago Bears, they've got two top 10 picks, and presumably they're taking Caleb Williams with the first overall pick. Like, that's not going to be easy just in the NFC North. Dallas and Philadelphia didn't go away. San Francisco's still out there. I mean, if Matt Stafford decides to come back, the Rams are still right there. So, I mean, it gets really interesting. Arizona Cardinals with Kyler Murray and potentially drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. with the fourth overall pick. Like, the NFC, I think, has the potential to get very, very interesting. I still agree with you. The AFC is the tougher of the two conferences. But I do think there's going to be a lot of resistance for Detroit to get back to conference championship game weekend, which is what makes it so heartbreaking that they lost in the way that they did on Sunday.
I think the Lions have a much better shot at winning the NFC North than the Ravens do of repeating in the AFC North. Don't you think if you look at that crop of teams that it would be harder for Baltimore to get back there again based on the teams just in their division than the Lions? Like, yeah, Green Bay is formidable. Yes, we don't really know about the Vikings. The Bears are a question mark. But I'd rather take my chance with that group of teams than the Bengals, the Browns, and the Steelers.
Okay, so if you're right on that one, right? If you're right, not only will the Ravens not go to the Super Bowl next year, the Ravens may not even win their division next year. Again, I've got to go back to this. 19 quarterbacks since 1980, having won MVP, some of them multiple times, obviously. Lamar Jackson is the first quarterback since Brian Sipe in 1980 to not go to a Super Bowl after winning an MVP. And he's the only quarterback the only player in history to win multiple MVPs and not win a title. Now we are going to look at Lamar not only differently than we did 4 days ago, but now the entirety of his career is going to be looked at differently, because if we're not confident he's going to get back to an AFC title game, you're saying he may not even win a division? That's going to be a major problem for his career. And while we say he's going to be in a Hall of Fame because the two MVPs, if he wins the second, should trigger that automatically, people are not going to be on board
Hold on. Let's do this, though. I mean, if we're talking about next year, that may well be true. But Lamar has over a decade of runway. I mean, the guy is, 26 years old? Lamar Jackson ain't going nowhere. Like, he's going to be around for a long time. Now, conversely, I don't know how long Dan Campbell is going to be with the Detroit Lions if they don't follow up this success with routinely making the playoffs. Like, if you ask me today, which one would I bet would be there longer? I would say Lamar Jackson will be quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens longer than Dan Campbell will be the head coach of the Detroit Lions. Now, I'm not saying that Dan is not an outstanding coach, because I am. I do think he's a good coach. But I also understand when you have a loss like you had in conference championship game weekend and you have those controversial decisions, there's going to be a lot more scrutiny on your head coaching career moving forward.
So I've never compared him to Brandon Staley, but that's what it would be.
We're going to look at both of these coaches. I mean, we're going to look at both of these individuals under a microscope, but I think the replacement over value, like the value over replacement becomes different with Lamar Jackson, because he is going to be a guy that has MVPs in a trophy case versus Dan Campbell, where you look at the team and you say, well, can we find somebody that can do this job better without the degree of variance that we've seen from him when it comes to making key decisions in game?
Well, it's weird to even say this, but if Dan Campbell does not get back there or have the success, we start comparing him to the Brandon Staley's blown lead for the Chargers against the Jaguars. We start comparing him to Dan Quinn, who did a good job with the Falcons, but a 28-3 blown lead. He becomes one of those coaches that, boy, he did a good job until he really didn't do a good job. Now, Dan Campbell, head coach of the Lions, spoke about a play that he regrets yesterday.
Look, it's the easy thing to do is to throw it. Probably should have been the right thing. But for me, I wanted to run it. I thought we would just pop it. You know, we had just 2 minutes all the way down the field throwing the football, and they were in a 4-down front, and I believe we'd walk right in. And we missed a block. And so then, I got to use the timeout. So hindsight, throw it 4 times. But I believed in that moment it was going to be a walk and run, and it didn't work out. So I gambled and lost.
Gambled and lost is a good way of saying it. Now, that was the 3rd down he's talking about late in the game, if I'm not mistaken,
right? Yeah, the goal line with a minute to go. And it's amazing, because that's the decision that a lot of people want to latch on to. It's becoming a hot take about the postmortem Detroit Lions losing the conference championship game. What I don't understand, Smalls, is that even under the best-case scenario, when it comes to the Lions in that goal-to-go with a minute to go in the game, you're down by 10 points. If you don't run the football and you throw the ball in the end zone, score a touchdown, and then you kick off to the 49ers, they got the ball on the 25-yard line, and you're probably talking about, 57, 58 seconds left to go in the game? Say, under the best-case scenario, you force a 3-and-out using all your 3 timeouts, and they punt the ball back to you. You got about 40 seconds to go to get back to field goal range, and you're probably talking about somewhere between the 40 to 45-yard distance, which is the exact same place you were at with 7.5 minutes to go in the game, needing a field goal to tie it.
He'd probably go for it.
But my whole point is, everybody wants to hold on to that decision to hand it to David Montgomery. And I'm just saying, what about the other 4th down decisions that he made in the second half? What about the 4th down decision he made right before halftime, where he decided he was going to kick a field goal rather than go for it from the 3-yard line? I don't understand why we have to do that when it's clear that, hey, these 4th down decisions that Dan Campbell made throughout the course of the game led to the team being in the most desperate of spot, down 10, mm-hmm. right there at the goal line with a minute to go. Like, I don't understand why people want to latch on to that decision, even though it was unequivocally wrong, when there are all of these other decisions that led to that team being in that position. That's the part that just doesn't make sense to me. But if he didn't trust his kicker with 7.5 minutes to go to tie the game with a field goal that was, what, 48 yards, why would he trust his kicker with even more pressure to end the game and tie the game with a 45-yard-plus field goal in that circumstance? It just made no sense. It's bizarro world.
Do you have something?
Because even Dan Campbell doesn't have an option in that spot. If you have, like, 1 second to go down three, you better not go for it. I mean, Dan Campbell is so
wacky. Is that the answer?
I'm just thinking about that. The time would have to save him from himself.
Yeah, if there's no time on the clock.
If it's 1 second to go, you have fourth and one, you're down three, and you're on the opposition's 30-yard line, even Dan Campbell wouldn't go for it, I don't think, in that spot.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, and I can't square this decision for the life of me. You decided that you were going to go for it from the 49ers' 28-yard line on your first possession in the second half. You had a 14-point lead. You decided that you were going to go for it rather than kicking the field goal and making it a three-possession game. If that was your logic going into that game, if that was the mentality, then why the hell didn't you go for it goal to goal right before halftime?
I know that one bothers you.
It doesn't make sense.
I know.
It quite like everybody says, well, Dan Campbell, he always goes for it on fourth down. No, he doesn't, because I'm pointing to that player. I'm pointing to that sequence right there. He didn't go for it. America, he didn't go for it. And he should have. If you're going to go for it in the third quarter when you're up two touchdowns, why wouldn't you go for it in the second quarter when you're up two touchdowns and you're 25 yards closer to scoring? You're 25 yards closer to scoring. You had the ball on the 3-yard line versus having the ball on the 28-yard line. It makes no sense. And that's the part where Dan Campbell is going to have to mend some fences with the players in his locker room, because they're going to have a tough time understanding that. Kind of like Pete Carroll had a tough time explaining why he's going to throw the ball on the goal line rather than hand it to Marshawn Lynch in Super Bowl 49. It's kind of like that.
What a shame.
It's kind of like that. Like, we got a chance to do something special, and we couldn't overcome the decisions that our head coach made.
So as we wrap up for now the conversation on the Lions and the Ravens, the two teams that lost, basically here's what both teams are protecting themselves against moving forward. Dan Campbell from becoming Dan Quinn or Brandon Staley, and Lamar Jackson from becoming the only MVP at his position since 1980 besides Brian Sipe with the Browns to not make it to a Super Bowl. Think
Man,
about
I'm
that.
I'm sure Brian Sipe didn't think he was going to catch those strays today.
Well, I was going through yesterday.
Brian Sipe just somewhere chilling, man. He did not think he was going to catch a stray today.
I'm literally looking at the list of MVPs of the quarterback position. I'm like, he made one. He did make one. And I'm like, all these guys did, except for Lamar. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Oh, I see Jeff Saturday bobbing his head. I like it. Yeah. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio. How's the diet? You look beyond skinny. It's amazing.
I'm working it, man. I'm working it. I got how many more days in January?
One.
Oh, one more. Thank the Lord.
Wait, what happens to Jeff Saturday, ESPN NFL analyst? What happens to
desserts
days from now?
Are coming back to the fray, baby. That's what I'm doing. Can't wait.
What's the first dessert?
Oh,
2 days from now.
Ooh, that's a great question.
When you splurge.
I'm a huge banana pudding guy, but that's probably not going on right now. Let me think what would be good right now. I love some chocolate cake. My wife is a huge chocolate fan, so I'll probably do a nice chocolate cake with some ice cream. That's going to be the first. That's the first go-to.
Sounds
good. First go-to.
All right, Jeff, finish this sentence for us. Brock Purdy is?
A baller. I mean, he has played, I mean, into the conversation of, again, he was on track or tracking with an MVP season because all the quarterbacks had kind of, you know, stayed at the same level this season. But he's a kid that, you know, he put his team on his shoulders on the back end of that. And I get not every throw was perfect. One bounces off. Every quarterback gets benefits and negatives. Pulled the ball down, ran it in moments, did everything required to put them in the second NFC championship game since he has done this thing. So just had a spectacular season, and I think he met up to the challenges that everybody was asking. Is this kid really, if they get behind, can he do it? They're going to make him play a certain style. He answered all those questions and then some. And think about Shanahan's record before Purdy got there, right? What he's 0-for, and in the last 2 weeks he's broken those things, right? They were 0-for if they're losing in the fourth quarter, and they were 0-for when they had this kind of lead or whatever. And so as good as Shanahan is, and everybody's like, oh, he's a system guy or whatever, well, their system hasn't been great down, and for whatever reason, he's found a way to flip it and win.
Jeff, we're doing a postmortem on the Ravens and Lions from conference championship game weekend. And, of course, Dan Campbell and Lamar Jackson are front and center. Which one of those individuals is more responsible for their team losing this past weekend?
Ooh, that is a great question. I'm probably going to have to go for – I'll go Dan Campbell. And I'm going to say it this way, because I think the Ravens' game plan was trash.
Awful.
Trash.
Awful.
And so we're going to lay it all at the feet of Lamar. And Lamar did not play well. I'm not trying to be an apologist for Lamar the way he didn't play great either. But their plan was terrible. The Dan Campbell thing for me – and again, you live by the sword, you die by the sword, right? So like he's made a lot of really gutsy decisions throughout the season that he's gone for it. At the moments that he did, I would have made it 3-score games, right? Like I would have made San Francisco continue to chase. You and I both know momentum is real. It is a real thing in football. And listen, I have been on the side of, as a player, being down 21-3 in an AFC championship game and us winning that game. I've coached up 30 or whatever it was and lost those. And when I tell you momentum is real, it is real. And at some point, you just want to stop the bleeding. I don't care that it's whatever the decision is, the analytics. At some point, let's just take some points and let's get the feeling of our team to change a little bit instead of putting the pressure on. And I hear this conversation, and this has been the word on the street is execution. Every play is freaking execution.
Yeah.
Well, if they just want to execute it. Yeah. I can give that for every play I've ever played in football. Yeah. They obviously haven't listened to coaches, because we go down and every play is, well, if you'd have gotten your foot over 6 inches here and your head across, it would have been a different play. That's every play. Every of course, play. If they executed it, it would have been a different story. That's every play in football. And I thought the most egregious, honestly, was the going forward on, or not going forward, but the third down call where they ran it and got stopped and had to use the timeout. I would have kicked the field goal there or thrown the ball that you stop the clock, because that then you have to onside kick and there's basically no chance you're going to win the game. I thought that was the worst of all the calls. I thought that was the most egregious from the Lions' perspective.
Well, let's swing it over to Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
Okay.
MVP during the regular season, different quarterback.
Okay, first of all, I don't love the – I know he's going to win it, but I'm not.
But he has been an MVP in the regular season.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But in the playoffs, different version of Lamar. I know you didn't like the game plan from the Ravens, but why do you think we see a different version of Lamar in the playoffs?
Well, this one I would attribute to the game plan. I mean, so what you're asking Lamar to do, and I think Lamar at times – He tries to overdo it and like stay in the pocket longer and become and stay a pocket passer, because everybody's like, oh, he's just an athletic guy or does whatever. I think in the playoffs especially, teams are going to give you different. And the way the Chiefs were rushing him, the lane integrity, they did a great job. But there were times when he could have pulled that ball down and not been as patient in the pocket and made the Chiefs pay, like Brock Purdy made them, you know, made the Lions pay late. Or, you know, like when you see Patrick Mahomes pull the ball down for these 10 and 15 yard. But once you got him in that mindset. You could tell he was frustrated throughout the game, and then they were baiting him, right? Baiting him to make bad throws, baiting them to try to do things, and you just felt that whole team got frustrated. And that's why I would attribute that. But he missed throws for sure. He forced throws for the interception, bad ball. Can't get strip sack, right? Like, and everybody's like, oh, that's offensive line. It is not, dude. Like, that time in the pocket, you either got to step up or put two hands on the ball.
That's it.
Like, so there, he definitely has blame to share in this. I'm not trying to defend everything he did, but I thought the game plan set him up for failure, and now it's going to be – and this is kind of the Josh Allen argument, right, is, well, he had yards, he had this, he had that. But if you're asking, you know, the whole game changer, game manager nonsense that some people bring, you got to have both, obviously. But he definitely didn't elevate his team, so there is blame to take there for him, for
Jeff,
sure.
You just said something that is fascinating in terms of the psychological aspect of it. Correct me if I'm hearing this incorrectly. You're saying that basically the critique around Lamar – plays into he can't win any way you cut it. It can't do anything to win. He has to win a certain way. Like, passing the ball has to be the reason that he wins versus whatever I'm going to do to win. I just need one more point the other team, however
right.
I get there.
Yes.
The psychological, you think, factors into this?
I do. I think players hear that kind of stuff. Oh, he can't do it this way, so I'm going to prove to everybody I can do it a certain way. I don't care how you do it, bro. I don't care if Peyton Manning threw for 5,000 yards or ran. I want to win freaking games. Like, I think so much of that comes into legacies of players after they leave the game. What are they going to be known for? What are they going to be known as? All that nonsense. I mean, I don't care. Literally, as a player, I don't care how we win. Let's just find ways to win. Whatever.
You think they cared on Sunday?
No, I don't.
The Ravens?
No, I don't. I think it got into a situation where, you know, you're asking Lamar to win that way because you're not calling runs. Like, there were no runs. I mean, they called six runs with the two. And if you look at the way they won games all season, they had the number one rushing, right? Like, and their defense was holding serve. Like, you got to just take – and you're down 10. You're not down 50 points, bro. Go – you score one touchdown, go do one Ravens job, this whole game flips. So I was disappointed in the OC. I was disappointed in Harbaugh not forcing them to run the ball more. Because, again, you're asking them to go do something. So name me – so Andrews comes back, right? But Zay Flowers is their passing game, mm-hmm. okay? Right? He's their passing game.
No doubt.
All right, so that's it. Like, if you're the Kansas City Chiefs and you have all that talent on the back end, you're playing six DBs, five DBs, a ton during that game. You're going three down linemen and three linebackers a large majority of that game. You are baiting them to come run the ball. I don't know how, I don't know why, but my God, like, as an offensive lineman, you walk out that field and go, I got a bunch of little dudes. Can we please just go at them and then force them to play something different? Maybe they do. Maybe it didn't change the game, but I dang sure wouldn't have went with that thought process, thinking I'm going to go back there and whip that thing around against one of the best secondaries and fastest secondaries in the league. Lewis Riddick talks about their speed all the time.
Yep.
And bro, they can fly. They're like a freaking swarm of bees back there. Like, let's run at them bees, bro. Let's not try to throw it around them. Avoid them. Let's go at them.
Yeah, I mean, over 40 dropbacks for Lamar versus six carries from your running backs doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Embarrassing.
Yeah. Jeff, before we let you get out of here, we got to ask you about Patrick Mahomes. I mean, this is the first quarterback to start four Super Bowls before the age of 30. I mean, by the eye test, by the numbers, he has the best first six seasons as a starter that we've ever seen from a quarterback. How do we contextualize what we're seeing from a homeboy?
You can't. He can't literally. I mean, it's you know, we're seeing history, right? Like this is as good as it has ever started. And, you know, you can have that whole conversation of the GOAT thing and, you know, is it Brady? Is it him? But from the way you started, like he's above that, right? He can tie Brady from Super Bowls, but being to the AFC Championship game every year this dude has started, like, really? And we know how hard it is. So let me contextualize this for some people, right? The Chiefs have – so since he's been a starter, they have played the number one schedule, which means if you're the first team – if you're the leader of your division, win your division, you got to go play the ones of every other division, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the way it's set up every season. Like, so realize they never get it easy. Like, now, sometimes it doesn't work out. Teams get hurt or whatever. But the reality is they're playing that schedule for six straight years. Like, think about how freaking hard that
is.
Like, the Lions are about to recognize that, right? Like, these teams are about to recognize, like, how hard it is when you win, what it looks like. He has done it repeatedly. And listen, I think this is the most, to me, this is the most monumental, that they just go on the road and win twice and beat the number one seed with the MVP at their place. And he managed, make sure you hear me right, the second half as well as any player. Never pushed it, never pressured it. Did anybody ever feel like the game was out of control for the Chiefs? No. Never.
And they didn't need to score any points.
Exactly.
He
knew they weren't going to score, and he wasn't going to screw it up. I love that that's what he did. I just thought it was insane.
Thank you for saying that. That's why CC just
started it. You love that.
It drives me nuts that game manager is considered an insult.
Oh, I know.
Just don't give the other team the ball with the lead.
Amen.
That's it. Don't give them the
Let
ball.
Let them know, baby. I'm with you.
Jeff Saturday will be on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN
Let's
Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
You know, Jeff Saturday just brought up something really interesting about Lamar Jackson and their game plan. We are Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, making money for you. It's easy to save money when you bundle your auto policy with home, condo, or renters. You'll earn a multi-policy discount. Easy to bundle, easy to save. Visit Progressive.com. They'll make you money by saving money there with Progressive. Jeff led us down an interesting path here. Do we think that the Ravens wanted to win for the Ravens or for Lamar this weekend? The way in which their game plan played out makes me think that they were conscious of making sure Lamar Jackson was going to be the reason that they won versus just winning. They threw the ball a ton. They ran the ball way less than normal. If they were to win that game, Lamar would get the credit, which Lamar should get the credit even if they passed the ball literally not once. He still would deserve credit in my mind if they won for what he's done to get them there. But I couldn't help but think about the psychological part of them saying, we got to make sure Lamar is the reason we win this week.
Well, here's the thing, and I'll push back on that. I don't think they would go down that road, but Lamar has gotten credit for the Ravens winning all season long. Mm-hmm. When you look at his individual numbers, they don't scream MVP. Yet we think he's going to win it when they announce the award in a few days because the team's overwhelming success. They got the best record in the NFL. And they beat the brakes off of quality opponents, including the San Francisco 49ers who were in the Super Bowl, the Miami Dolphins who fancied themselves as contenders. Like, they've embarrassed some really good teams. Smalls, you gave the statistic. I mean, when you start talking about teams that were three games over 500 or more, not only did they beat them, but the average margin of victory was like 26 points.
26.2.
Exactly.
And they were 6-0.
So that's why Lamar has gotten credit for the team's success. So I don't think they have to tilt the game plan toward Lamar being featured as a passer. I don't think they're doing what the 2014 Seattle Seahawks did in the Super Bowl, which is not hand off to the running back because you want Russell Wilson to be the MVP of the game. I don't think it was a situation like that. I just think that they panicked. They saw what the Kansas City Chiefs did on their first two drives. The Kansas City Chiefs, double-digit play drives, the first two drives of the game, led in touchdowns the length of the field. I think it was one 10 plays, 86 yards, the other one 16 plays, 75 yards. Touchdowns. They felt like they had to get into a shootout. They didn't stay with the running game, even though the game, from a score standpoint, wasn't going to dictate that it tilted in terms of them being exclusively a passing outfit. And so that, to me, is why you can hang a lot of that loss on Todd Monken and on John Harbaugh. But again, if we're divvying up the pie in terms of who to blame for the Ravens coming up short, Lamar has to get the biggest slice.
Well, then I guess I would leave it this way and think about it this way. I wonder if it played into Lamar's thinking. It was a second late to run almost every time he ran the ball. I wonder if it played into, hey, I gotta throw the ball here. We know sitting here at this desk, he's a good passer. The world doesn't want to give him credit on that, but he is a good passer. I do wonder, Smalls, if there was a split second in his head of like, I gotta pass.
Well, if they're thinking about legacy and they're thinking about the narrative surrounding the win, then that's probably why they lost. I mean, this is obviously a hypothetical. Yeah, I want to make that clear.
I'm just wondering.
But if you're not focused on getting the win any way that you can, if you're worried about it being you or if they're worried
especially
about it being Lamar.
Against Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs.
Why would you ever take them lightly? Which, again, we're not suggesting that they right, did. This right. is just a hypothetical for all of those listening and watching. But I do think sometimes you think about how it looks rather than just getting it done. And the funny thing about that, we just talked about giving Patrick Mahomes credit when Jeff Saturday just outlined how he managed the game in the second half. And he didn't have to be the reason that they won. But I think if that was the thinking, that is so short-sighted, because had they just punched their ticket to the Super Bowl, regardless of who was the star or how it looked, we're giving Lamar credit for being the reason why they got there.
But here's the other thing that I want to say about Lamar and why he didn't take off and scramble more, why we didn't see him use his legs as a weapon like Brock Purdy. Lamar Jackson is a supremely talented athlete. He doesn't think in his mind that he can't get away from the rush, that he can't get away from pressure under any circumstance. So even when Spags is sending 5-6 defenders on a blitz, he doesn't think that he can't out-athlete his way out of that situation. And yet, I think that confidence worked against him in terms of continuing to drift back into the pocket, fading away, and trying to wait for his receivers to uncover, something that never happened. I don't think we're acknowledging how sticky the coverage was from the Kansas City Chiefs DBs and them not allowing those receivers to uncover in the scramble drill when Lamar Jackson did break the pocket. There was nowhere for him to go with the football when he did hold it, and yet he was still trying to wait for his receivers to uncover. Now, you would think midway through the game you would understand that and adjust your approach and decide to use your legs more in the second half, but he didn't. And I guess that's the part that you can hang on Lamar, but I can also understand, because he's so fast, because he's so athletic, he never thinks that he can't get away from the rush, which is probably why he did sit in the pocket or why he did try to manipulate the pocket and buy time for his receivers to uncover downfield. And it led to a lot of uncharacteristic plays, a lot of negative plays, including the sack fumble that we had in the first half.
All right, I want to go through some of these quarterbacks here, because Lamar is obviously atop the list. We'll do this throughout the show. As to guys now in the top 10, as to whether or not we think they can win a Super Bowl. Mahomes, obviously, number one. I'm going to guess, yes, we think he can win a Super Bowl.
We think he can do it.
Joe Burrow, I'm going based on CC's rankings here. Joe Burrow, you have number two. Do you feel confident he can win a Super Bowl?
No question in my mind. Not a matter of if, just a matter of when.
You know how I feel about Joe Burrow.
Yes,
he is 100% going to win a Super Bowl.
Lamar.
Yes.
I think Lamar could win a Super Bowl, yes.
Josh Allen.
Yes.
Yes.
Justin Herbert.
Yes.
With Harbaugh, yes.
CJ Stroud.
Yes.
Big time, yes.
Trevor Lawrence.
Yes. Not with my chest, but yes.
Yeah, I will say yes as well.
You gave a yeah, not a yes. That's the halfway there.
I just need to see it more consistently.
Jalen Hurts.
Yes, he was better than Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl last year.
He was there and played great.
He lost.
Now we have seven or eight guys that we think in the top 10 could win a Super Bowl. Dak Prescott.
No.
No.
And it's not necessarily about him. I just don't have faith in the Cowboys as a whole.
It's not even the Cowboys. It's relative to what Dak is going to cost you. Dak is going to be the highest paid player in the NFL this offseason. I know it sounds, he's going to be the highest paid player this offseason. Think about this. Dak Prescott has a $59.5 million cap hit. He's got a no trade clause and he's got a no franchise clause, which means he's got more leverage than damn near anybody in NFL history has ever had. Good luck with that. He's going to get paid $60 million a year. And I'm serious. Like, if the high, what's the high watermark? Joe Burrow? Is Joe Burrow the highest paid quarterback? Patrick Mahomes? They're probably the highest paid, around $55, $56 million a year. Like, somewhere in that ball. It's not crazy to think that Dak Prescott is going to blow that out of the water.
The flip side of that, Brock Purdy. I would assume you think yes.
Considering
he has one more game to win.
He's in the Super Bowl.
Can I just go back to...
If he doesn't get it this year, it becomes a more interesting conversation.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. I'm going to go back to three guys, if I could, in your top 10. I'm going to go back to Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Justin Herbert. Up until this point, I don't think any of the three of them have given us evidence in the postseason that they're going to get over the hump. That's not to say that they can't. But I am going to group those three together and say that Justin Herbert, and Smalls mentions this all the time, that we never talk about an all-time collapse he had in the postseason.
Oh, that was so bad.
Right, but we never bring that up, right?
We attribute it to Brandon Staley.
Right, but it happened to him too.
He was part of it, yes.
Lamar,
he was there.
Lamar, we've talked about countless times. What he does in the regular season is not what he does in the postseason. And Josh Allen, while individually his numbers are not bad in the postseason, never seems to get over the hump. So I will group those three together and say that based on their past postseason performances, there's an ounce of surprise if they win the Super Bowl for me. The one that I feel closest to doing it is actually Herbert because of the coaching. I just believe in his coach and Harbaugh with him so much. Because Harbaugh has never failed in that spot with a quarterback.
I feel the most confident in Josh Allen. He's gone toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. He hasn't gotten there, but he's been right there.
I feel most confident in Lamar Jackson just because of the organization and the coach.
Organizationally, there's no doubt. You would have the Ravens over the Bills and the Chargers without any debate. I did not expect this exercise to produce as many quarterbacks that we think could go and win a Super Bowl as we just said.
Yeah.
Coming up. I'm over it. Next on Sportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Our producer, Pat Costello, is always annoyed with something. And he tells us every day at this time, things that he's over. Morning, Pat.
Good morning. I'm over the term game manager. I don't even think people understand why they call someone a game manager or what it actually means when they say it. I think people just start throwing it out there when they want to describe a guy that is better than they expected and they don't really know a better word to use. So they just call him a game manager without actually thinking about it.
I love it. I'm all in. I don't understand how it's an insult. Hey, you're doing what's asked of you and not turning the ball over. That's a bad thing. I understand the tractor versus trailer example that you've brought up, CeCe, and that's fine, but I agree with Pat as well. Like, that Patrick Mahomes and Brock Purdy are not the same quarterback. They don't have the same impact. They're not asked to do the same things. I fully get that. That does not, to me, or should not lead to insulting Brock Purdy and say he's just a quote-unquote game manager as if that's a bad thing.
Well, here's the thing. With Patrick Mahomes, even though he does a great job of managing the game, we never refer to him as a game manager because we know at any given point he can dial it up and play outside of the structure and above the X's and O's. Like, that's the difference, right? If you're saying somebody is a game manager, you're saying that's all they can do.
Right.
And so I guess the question now becomes for Brock Purdy as we get to the Super Bowl and he's going to go head-to-head with my homeboy, is whether or not He can consistently make those plays that are outside the structure of the offense, above the X's and O's, and do that going up against a defense, going up against a team that's not going to have the self-inflicted wounds like we saw with the Green Bay Packers, like we saw with the Detroit Lions this past Sunday. So I guess that would be the question. Because guess what? If Brock Purdy wins the Super Bowl, the game manager label goes away. And we start talking about him and potentially being able to evolve into a quarterback that's considered top 5 to 7 at the position, similar to what Tom Brady did early in his career.
Can I pitch another way of categorizing it for everybody? And Pat, I want, since you brought it up, please join in this. There are quarterbacks you win because of. There are quarterbacks you win with. And there are teams that win in spite of a quarterback. I think because of is Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
With maybe Brock Purdy.
Sure.
In spite of, sorry, maybe Trent Dilfer, Brad Johnson in the past. Like, they won in spite of the fact that they did not have the greatest of quarterbacks played. That's insulting. I don't mean to be insulting on that at all.
But let me ask you a question. If a quarterback wins a Super Bowl, can you say that's a quarterback that you can win with versus a quarterback that you win because of?
Well, to me,
I feel like I feel like that's the line of demarcation. Mm-hmm. Like, if you win a championship, then you're a quarterback that the team wins because
of. So you graduate.
You graduate. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to find a way, like
Joe Flacco would be a guy that on first glance you would say he's a guy you can win with. But Joe Flacco was a guy that you win because of in 2012 when the Ravens went on their Super Bowl run, right?
Yes.
11 touchdowns to no interceptions.
Is that less insulting than game manager or no? I mean, I'm not sure. Pat, you brought it up. What do you think, Pat?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know.
Great.
It's like,
okay. Wow. All right. Next one, Pat.
Great. Thanks. You put me on the spot. I wasn't ready to answer that question.
It's your thing. You talk.
You know,
in this
you invented segment. Some confusing category of like
what was
win
confusing?
With or because of. I don't know. Like both, I guess. You win with them because of him. I don't think the Broncos won because of Peyton Manning. I think they won with Peyton Manning. But
I think
Peyton Manning was a game manager that year? No.
I disagree with that. But go ahead. Not for today.
Okay. Why is it that people forget how to drive when they get into a parking lot? All of a sudden they get into a parking lot. People just start parking wherever. They'll just pull up to the store and park in front of it for like 10 minutes just because. Driving all over the place, don't know what they're doing, park sideways in a parking lot for some reason, throw trash all over the ground. What happens when someone gets in a parking lot?
Forgetting how to drive is an interesting concept, and I have to go to Smalls on this, because when you're back home in St. Louis, you're driving.
I'm driving.
When you're here in New York, you're never driving.
I'm a passenger princess.
Right. Do you forget how to drive?
Like, no. When
you... So it's immediate.
It's like riding a bike.
So then Pat, what you said makes no sense, that people should never forget how to drive.
But they do, though. He's right. If it's raining, if it's snowing, all of a sudden people... It's that they get a little too cautious or they get a little bit too nervous about the situation and they forget about the rules of the road.
It's also more congestion in a parking lot.
That's
true. I think people just get selfish in a parking lot.
How?
People are only worried about what they want to do when they get into a parking lot and then so they just park wherever.
I mean, isn't that... Actually, the proper time to be selfish, you're parking your car. What are you going to do, wait for everybody else to take the spots?
But people don't want to walk. They're trying to get as close as possible because, God forbid, they take 22 extra steps.
Then they're
going
to park over the line because they don't want anybody to park next to them. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, listen, you can't do that at the front of the store. Like, if you want to do all of that, go to the back of the parking lot where nobody else is there and then walk your ass to the front of the store.
Right.
Do that.
Everyone's wearing an Apple Watch. You think they'd want to get their steps in, you know?
Just saying.
Also, don't be the person in the parking lot who walks in, like, the middle of the road.
Yes.
It's just completely oblivious to the person who's trying to pull up behind them.
That's
get
so
out
annoying.
Of the way.
That is
do you back
annoying.
Into spots?
Yes.
You do?
I need a quick getaway.
Oh, really?
No, I don't back into spots.
I think it's too much of a hassle.
I back into every spot.
It's hard to do. I'm not that good of a driver.
How is it hard to do?
You have to look behind.
Most cars have the rear view camera or they've got the beeping sound. Mm. So it's relative.
It's hard. Too
hard
for me. Not a NASCAR driver. That's hard for me.
So you hate parallel parking too?
Oh, God. Oh, I had a great one the other night, though.
We're in Florida.
In New York City, and you hate parallel parking?
That doesn't mean I like it, but I mean, why not?
I'm really good at parallel parking.
Exactly.
When we were in Florida, Evan was like, oh, am I going to have to parallel park in front of the station? He was nervous about that.
I was?
Yeah.
I don't even have any recollection of
that. I do. And then we got stuck.
Well, we did get stuck. We took a wrong turn.
Oh my God.
And by the way, I'm freaking out. I thought the car was stuck. And she's sitting there, passenger side, just laughing at me.
I was like, I should have filmed this.
The entire time, she's just laughing. I'm like, Smalls, we are stuck in a ditch. And you're just laughing at me right now. Next one, Pat.
When I see a bagel that has about a pound of cream cheese on it, it makes me gag. It's absolutely horrifying. You don't even want to eat the bagel at that point. You just want to eat the cream cheese. Just admit it. Buy a tub of cream cheese and a spoon and keep the bagel to the side.
He's 1,000% right about this. He is 1,000% right. So this happened today to our social and digital guy, the great Rob Lorenzo. Got a bagel.
Yeah.
He's new to New York City. Got a bagel. The schmear is so big. It was on his face.
Yeah,
he didn't even notice it.
But here's what I got to ask the question about. Like, isn't the bagel or isn't toast just a vehicle for whatever condiments that you want to put
yes,
on?
You are right about that.
Who's sitting there saying, man, I just want this bagel with no butter, no cream cheese, no jelly.
Just warmed up bread.
Warmed up bread. Who was out here asking for that?
You don't need an inch of cream cheese.
That makes no sense.
But you don't think New York City delis and bagel shops go a little bit too heavy on the cream cheese?
I'd rather them go too heavy than too light. I can remove. I can't add.
Yeah, but if you're on the road, like, this is what I would do.
I just want this toasted bread. no condiments on it.
I try to
Let's
be so efficient in this spot.
Let's go. Let's go. These bagels, man.
I would take some of the cream cheese off and save it for the next bagel. That's what I would do. Save it at home.
Like you said, Smalls, it's easier to take some off rather than have to ask for some more.
Pat's right about this. There's way too much of it.
No,
way too much
not.
Of the
no.
schmear.
No,
way too much. I don't need an inch of cream cheese. That's gross.
Well, then
take some off.
There you go.
Put less on.
Or why don't
you wasting cream cheese?
Say that when you're checking or when you're placing your order. Light cream cheese.
Light cream cheese.
No, you can't.
Although
do that.
I've never said that.
Yeah, you can't
never.
Do that.
Never said that.
Adam Schefter will join us next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.